This Bible talk titled Model Believers is on 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's the second sermon in our new series In Transit on 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and it was given at Rabbeinah on Sunday the 16th of October 2022.
Well, the removalists have been booked. Everything is now going into boxes. The countdown is on as preparations are being made to move. They've started to say their final farewells, affirming relationships that are important to them. Finishing well is really important. It's important how we leave the people that we love. After 5 years of living in Queensland, my friends are moving back to New South Wales. Rightly, you ask the question, why would anyone ever do that? Why would anyone move back to New South Wales? Doesn't everyone want to live here in Queensland? The answer they provide to that question is to retire. They're moving back to New South Wales for retirement. Rightly, you ask the question again. Does Mike really have friends who are that old? And why? Why would anyone do that? Why would you go back there? Having now lived in the Sunshine State, why would anyone choose to retire in New South Wales? But for them, this is a new beginning. They've even bought a new house, making new plans, dreaming new dreams. Pardon me. Looking forward to their new life in New South Wales. It's a fresh start. It's a new beginning. After a lifetime of working hard, they are working hard on beginning a new chapter. But the problem with new beginnings, the problem with beginning something new, is that something else has to end first. There has to be an ending for there to be a new beginning. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. So it's bittersweet. It's a happy, sad a moment for them. The excitement of new possibilities comes at the price of leaving old things behind. Having started to pack their house, boxing up all of their earthly belongings, waiting for the removalists now to arrive, my friends are in transit. They're in between us. They're neither here nor there. They're in the grey zone. They traversed the neutral space. And as Paul writes to this new Macedonian church, that's where the Thessalonians find themselves too. They are in the grey zone, the neutral space. It's where we are as well, in transit. You see, we're a church that lives in transition. We are the in-betweeners, a church that's left old things behind, but not yet at the place where we're going. So it's important that we leave well. But Paul didn't leave Thessalonica very well. Actually, he kind of left town in a bit of a hurry. Having reasoned in the synagogue for three Sabbaths, reason, explaining, proving, and proclaiming, Paul was chased out of Thessalonica by some very unreasonable and jealously zealous Jews. If you're here with us last week, you saw that they chased Paul all the way to Berea and then chased him out of there as well. And so Paul's now headed to Athens and then to Corinth. And in Corinth, he writes these letters to the Thessalonians 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And so Paul writes to this little church, but they're an eclectic bunch of people. Until recently, they wouldn't have known one another. They would never have mixed together, would never have moved in the same circles socially. See how they're described again, Acts 17, verse 4. And some of them, Jews, were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few leading women. So this is a multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-gender diverse group of human beings who are all still living in Thessalonica. But all of these people have understood the necessity of Christ to suffer for them, and they've been persuaded that this Jesus is the Christ. And that's what it takes to be the church. That's all you need to be included in God. Look there with me, verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. Having proclaimed Jesus in Thessalonica and then having fled because of strong opposition, Paul, Silas, and Timothy now tell the Thessalonians not only do they know, but they are also known. The Thessalonians are known. The Thessalonians know, and everyone knows the Thessalonians. Now, if you're taking notes, that's our outline for this morning. The Thessalonians are known, the Thessalonians know, and everyone knows about the Thessalonians. They might have been strangers when they lived in Thessalonica, but now they are the church of the Thessalonians. So their location has shifted. Now they inhabit a different address, no longer at home in Thessalonica, but now in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer identified as simply being the Thessalonians, they're now God's possession, his church. In God is their new location. It's where they now dwell. And so they inhabit two different spaces at the same time. They inhabit a different space to everyone else. You see, even though they're still in Thessalonica, they're in transit. They're in between us. It's the same for us. In God, but still here. Possessed by God, but not fully his possession yet. And so Paul can speak of grace and peace, and the Thessalonians can enjoy all of the gifts of God's restoration to them, while simultaneously experiencing all the chaos and conflict that now surrounds them. You see, Christians, we dwell in two locations at the same time. We inhabit two spaces at once. We are neither here nor there. We're in transit. And so we can experience two things together, competing circumstances alongside conflicting emotions. We can have peace in the midst of chaos. And we can speak of hope in the midst of despair. We can have joy in times and in the face of sorrow. The pain of living in this broken world while still waiting for the fullness of the glory in the one to come. That's where the Thessalonians are, in Thessalonica, in God, in transit. Despite such opposition, strong opposition to the work of the gospel in Thessalonica, Paul is able to give thanks to God for the gospel and the work of the gospel in the Thessalonians. See that with me, won't you, in verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labour of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. See it there, the work of faith, the labour of love, the steadfastness of hope. They are all signs that the gospel is at work in your life. God continuing to do his work within you. Now, to be very clear here, friends, it's not the work of the Thessalonians, but the work of God in the Thessalonians that Paul gives thanks for. Our works, they count for nothing. But what our works do is demonstrate that God is at work within us. What faith, love, and hope tell us is that God is now working in your life. God's work in transforming us to change us. Because that's what the gospel does. That's what Paul gives thanks to God for. Paul sees the works of the Thessalonians and he gives thanks to God for them. And so whenever we see the outward works of the inner work of God at work in others, whenever we exhibit faith, hope, and love, it is always a cause for celebration. God is at work in you. Always a reason to give thanks. Constantly mentioning them, remembering them in his prayers, Paul has literally loved and left the Thessalonians. But still, their love labours on in his absence. Paul called them to trust in Jesus, and now their faith in him is beginning to bear fruit. Paul left them in a hopeless situation, but still they are enduring in their hope. You see, friends, Paul knows. Look there, verse 4. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You see it there? Known and loved by Paul, known and loved by God. At a time when so many of us feel disconnected from one another, the promise of the new normal, it never really returned, did it? So many disgruntled and disengaged or distracted because our present needs always feel so overwhelming to us. Whenever things feel overwhelming, it's easy for us to feel despondent and discouraged. it was the same for the Thessalonians. Paul left town in a hurry because of violent opposition from jealous religious zealots who were now looking to oppose the church, people looking to destroy their fellowship. Them, like us, our outlook also feels uncertain. Present circumstances seem hopelessly exhausting. But don't you see, friends, we're in transit. Simultaneously, we inhabit two spaces at once. We are loved by God and we are chosen by God. That is the underlying reality of every situation that you are in. No matter what circumstances you are faced with, no matter what happens, no matter how it feels, no matter what things look like, loved and chosen by God. We are God's possession. We are His church. We might not know it in its fullness yet, but this is the direction that we're travelling in. Now, I just want you to take a moment to take all of that in. If you hear nothing else today, hear this. No matter what trouble you're facing, no matter how things have been for you lately, loved and chosen by God. That is who we are. That will never change. And so our behaviour demonstrates God's work within us. Faith, love, and hope are the things that we're looking for. So when Paul knows that when he left town, the gospel didn't leave town with him. Not just Christians in name only, not simply in words, but in full power of the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction the Thessalonians believed the gospel. Now evidenced by a changed life and the impact that their lives now have on others. That's how Paul knows. It's how the Thessalonians know too. You see, the Thessalonians know. Look there, verse 5. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Paul lived out the gospel that he preached. It wasn't simply all academic and philosophical. No, Paul's gospel cost him everything. He had to live out his faith amongst them. He preached the sufferings of Christ and suffered for the Christ that he preached. Chased out of town from Thessalonica, only to be pursued and chased out of the next town as well. Not simply a gospel of words, but powerfully demonstrated by his life. Because that's what full conviction does. It's what full conviction is. It's not grandiose statements, but a life that backs up what it says. That's how and where the gospel has power. People change when you live the gospel out in front of them. And so the Thessalonians know. They know the gospel is to be lived as well as it is to be believed. And they start living now like Paul. They've become imitators of Paul, Silas and Timothy. We love it, don't we? We love it when people receive the word of God with joy. It brings us joy to know they've received it with joy. And so we talk about mission and evangelism and we hand out Bibles and we hand out tracts to people. We get people trained in apologetic courses and read books about not being that guy. We want more joy. Who doesn't want more joy in their life? But can we back the truck up here just for a second? Can we slow down enough for this big speed bump that's about to come? They receive the word with Holy Spirit joy. Amen? Look there closely. But it also came with much affliction. And no one wants any more of that in their life, do they? More affliction makes me sound like a killjoy. But look, they became imitators in suffering. The word is thlipsis in Greek. It means trouble, tribulation, and oppression. And so when you start to live out the gospel, suffering as a servant like the suffering servant suffered, when your faith isn't simply something that's just convenient, but you love those who mistreat you, and your hope is in real world, real time situations, when you model what's been modelled to you, imitating Paul, who imitated Christ, it's then that people will stand up and take notice. Look there, verse 7. You became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. Do you hear that? Nothing more needs to be said. Everyone else is doing all of the saying for them. Models who model their faith to others, Macedonia, Achaia, and everywhere else in between, everybody is now talking about Jesus. Why? Because of the lives that these Thessalonians are living. They live what they believed. They walk the talk. They were prepared to suffer, and they did suffer for their faith. When the power of the gospel is on display, when our lives are as orthodox as our theology, when the gospel is more integrated into your life, when we start seeing convergence, when what you say and what God says are in full alignment with what you do, when people not only hear about the gospel but can actually see it powerfully at work within you, nothing else needs to be said. Verse 9. For they themselves report concerning the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The Thessalonians, they've already left. They're not here anymore. They've already gone. They've already started saying their goodbyes, getting ready to move locations. They've decided to leave, and they are finishing well. You see, they've turned their lives to God. They've left behind their idols. No longer do they serve themselves, but they serve the living and the true God. How? By being models of the gospel. They now live as examples to others. They've left old ways and old things behind them, and so they're no longer really here anymore. Their life is moving in a new direction, but it has yet to be fully realized within them. They're living in transit, and so now they wait. Of course, the problem is for the Thessalonians that they took this waiting too literally, and it created some other problems for them. And we'll see what those problems look like in our series on these letters to them. But living life in transit isn't simply about kicking up your heels and waiting for something to happen. There's serving to do. There's serving to do in the meantime. There is still modelling that needs to be done. It's what we're doing here at Salt Church too. It's the same place where we now find ourselves, waiting for the fullness of God's promises to be fully realized to us in real time. Waiting for the fulfillment of love, for the object of our faith and the completion of our hope. Waiting for God's Son to return from heaven, for whom it was necessary to suffer for us, and who by his resurrection has delivered us, and who will deliver us from the judgment that is to come. But while we wait, we serve the living and the true God. And the only way to serve the living and the true God is to be a follower of his Son. Friends, what we need are more models. We need more people who we can imitate. We need more examples for us to follow, more imitators who imitate Christ, so that we know, so that others know, so that everyone knows what it means to be a Christ follower and what it means to serve and to wait for him. We need more people who will live out the gospel, people who can inhabit two places at the same time. In moments of joy, yes, but especially in times of much affliction. What our church needs is what the Gold Coast needs. and that is more people who will model the gospel to others, whose lives demonstrate God's powerful work within them. We need more people we can be thankful for, people who will disciple us and others to be disciples of Christ. Will you be that person? Can we be that church? Who is someone that you're imitating here? Who's someone that you're modeling your life on? Who's someone that you can model your life to? Someone that you can show how to live, because that's what discipleship is. Who are you investing yourself in? But being a model that's worth imitating means that you've kind of already left. Already left the old things and the old ways that are behind you, in transit, heading to a different direction. Being a model means knowing who you are in every situation, no matter what the circumstances. I am known, I am loved, I am chosen by God. That never changes. And it means knowing where we're headed always, waiting for the fullness of his possession. We are in God. We are in transit. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the power of the gospel that has come to us, not simply in words, but with the power of the Holy Spirit and with full and deep conviction. Lord Jesus, we want to not only believe, but we want to live for you. It's easier just to believe. It's harder to live. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, that everything in our life, all that we do and all that we say, would find convergence, that we would be focused in our following of who you are and what you've done, that we might be imitators, not only of Paul, but of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We thank you that we have much joy because of the gospel. Would you help us to have joy in moments of much affliction too? Help us to realize that we're no longer here and we're not there yet. We are seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms, yet our feet still firmly planted right here on the Gold Coast. And because we inhabit these two spaces, Lord Jesus, would you help us to not only have hope in the midst of chaos and joy in the midst of sorrow, but that we might demonstrate what that means to others as well. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be a church of models who model what it means to follow Christ no matter what happens. May we be fully yours. May we be now what we will become, your possession, your joy. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.